Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. There are a handful of bands who are associated with the 1970s genre affectionately, or sometimes not affectionately, known as prog rock. Bands like Yes, Emerson, Lake & Palmer, King Crimson, and Wishbone Ash. 44 years after recording their first album, Wishbone Ash is still here and still making their distinctive brand of music, though it has evolved since the Nixon administration. The band has a new album called Blue Horizon and continues to tour. They'll play at Turner Hall Ballroom tomorrow evening. Andy Powell is the last founding member still with the band, and he spoke with Lake Effect's Bonnie North by phone ahead of the show and talked about how long the new album has been in the works.
Not so long, you know. I mean, you kind of build up a head of steam. I mean, it was a couple of years since the prior album, Elegant Stealth. And I think what we tend to do, or what I do, is I'm always collecting ideas as I go. And they just get stored. They sometimes get written down. And then at that time when you're ready to make an album, you kind of know when you're ready. And we're fortunate enough we can do deals with people and we can get the funding, which is the biggest problem of making a record. Then you just start pulling the ideas out of the hat that you've collected over the previous two or three years, whether they're musical, whether they're lyrical, whatever. So, but the actual recording and the work on the album, pretty quick, really, over maybe a six-week period, something like that, you know, working off and on. An intense period laying down the backtrack, 10 days, you know, and then taking a little break, a breather from it, seeing what we've done, adding on vocal overdubs and that kind of thing.
You guys aren't all in the same place now, though, are you? Because you live in the States now.
Yeah, that's the strange thing. I'm British, but I live in the States. I live on the East Coast. My partner, my guitar partner, a guy called Muddy Mannanen, who is actually from Finland, he recently moved to the UK, where the other two members live. So, yeah, ostensibly, everyone's in the UK except for me now. But, you know, the thing is, we're always on the road, and just tomorrow we're going to all meet up in Denver. So we actually have this kind of relationship where we meet. It's like, I'll see you in Munich in a couple of weeks, or I'll see you in Helsinki. It's like that.
How does it work for songwriting? Do you guys, like, Skype a lot? How does that work?
Well, that's great. With the technology that you've got going on now, you can do that. You're absolutely right. And even rehearsing before a tour, if we want to throw in a couple of new songs, we'll get on Skype. You know, you've got email, you've got Facebook, you've got so many things at your disposal. It's nothing like being in a room with each other. But the schedule that we've got, you just make do with the best you can because we're moving at such a rate. I mean, we're trying to keep up with the internet, really. I mean, we're traveling all over the place, about 150 tour dates a year. So if we get time in a room to rehearse and work on music together, it's bliss, and it's a sheer luxury.
Do you do that while you're on tour? Does that also double as rehearsal time?
Yeah, we do that as soundcheck, like a lot of bands, especially in this country. You know, the distances are so great. The schedules are so tight, you know. The only time you might get together is like that hour sound check that you have in the early evening. I mean, it's a little easier in Europe because the distances are less and things are a little bit more relaxed.
But you guys have been playing together now. This incarnation, what, 2007? Is that right?
Yeah.
So you've had a few years to kind of work out the kinks.
That's right. I mean, the early two or three years, we were really working on melding, you know, the sound of the band as it is now. Now it's like second nature for everybody.
I was going to say the thing that struck me about this album is that it feels very easy, like it's very organic, and that you guys just got together and jammed.
I'm so pleased you say that because any band is looking for that when they record. You want the music to sound natural, and it was, and it is. You know, there were ideas that we tried that didn't get on the album, but I can say, even the things that we didn't use, they still came together very easily. And I mean, that really is a testament to having been together for a long time now. I think we know where our strengths lie and we know where our weaknesses are, and we tend to avoid the weaknesses if we can.
Well, what has this particular group of musicians taught you about Wishbone Ash and where you want it to go in the future?
That's a good question. I think in the early days, I'm talking about 70s, we were, that group of musicians was young and we were learning our craft. We were learning how to travel. We were learning how to be adults, really. And what this group has taught me in comparison or in contrast is that we're very mature people now, or in years we're mature, most of us. And, I think that the wonderful thing about being a touring musician at this point in my life with these people is that, you know, you really do not sweat the small stuff. You really do not waste time on negative energy. You really do make the most of the places that you're going to and the relationships that you're building along the road. So those three things, I think, I'm learning all the time. You know, I can be anywhere and pick up the phone and, you know, we make a lot of relationships on the road. Our fan community and support group, they're there in every city. We can call people, they'll help us. We do favors for them. We, you know, it's a really nice thing. It's like a cottage industry. And I think it's a lot for same for a lot of bands of our ilk now. You know, you've got this wonderful support group, and that has taught me, you know, a lot. The value of relationships is much greater than any monetary value that you can get out of the business or anything. It's all about creating a community, and that I love that. I just love that about it.
In a way, you're describing maturity.
Yeah, it is maturity. There's a lot of things people that go, oh gosh, you know, I wish I was younger. I don't feel that, actually. I think the great thing about being a musician and being in a band and traveling, if you like traveling, and I do, is that to be mature and mature with it and in it, in that lifestyle, it's quite a blessing, I feel. But you're right, you know, it's interesting. I think that our generation of music makers perhaps didn't realize we might be still doing it for this number of years. And so it's a kind of a wonderful gift to be maturing within it, you know. It's pretty cool, actually.
Great quote on your bio on the website that says that you're once a caretaker of the past and a commentator on the present scene and then driving forward. And I wonder if that maturity and that kind of looking at it from this perspective now allows you to balance those things as well as you do.
It does, yeah. It really does. I'm always mindful of the past, but I don't want to be hamstrung by it. I don't want to be tied down by it, but I'm respectful of it. And I just use it as a springboard for what I'm doing now. Like, I always feel I'm completely in the present, in both in my lifestyle and musically. But, you know, of course, you can never cut out of your persona something that you did or who you were or what you were from years ago. And I don't wish to do that. I'm really proud of what I created and what the band created. But I don't allow it to, as I say, just tie me down. It's liberating, in fact.
Do you feel pressure at all from the fans to dig into the back catalog more than you want to?
I think I went through a phase maybe 20 years ago of that, you know, and I fought it to some degree. The fan group that we've got right now, they tend to be people that have really tuned into where we're at now. There's a much smaller group of them that go way back to, we're talking 45 years ago. And if they've lost touch with the band, they might be a bit like that. They might have that kind of Luddite attitude, you know. But I think the bulk of the people that we see in the clubs and theaters around the world that we play to, they're probably 35, 45 years of age. And they're really more clued into what they see on an ongoing yearly basis when they come out to see the show. So I don't feel that much pressure in that regard. I mean, yeah, sure, you know, through the community and through social media, we get people say, hey, why don't you play that song from 1978? Or what about that obscure piece that you never played live? You know, and that, yeah, I take interest and I pay attention to those
those requests for sure.
But you know, I would say the fans from 45 years ago, if they listen to Blue Horizon right now, they would still hear the Ash that they know. I mean, you've obviously progressed and things have changed, but there's still the jazz influences. There's still those interwoven guitar lines. There's still those ethereal harmonies that you sometimes come up with, and that you also rock like heck, you know? So, I mean, right. To me, yes, you've evolved, but you're still Wishbone Ash.
Well, thank you. I think you're right. I think we're more Wishbone Ash now than we have. I mean, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end game in this whole thing. And I think during the middle period, I might categorize as saying maybe the 80s, the 1980s, mid-80s, 90s, when I think we were, I think the music business and bands of our ilk were somewhat lost in a way. And I think that you've got to go through losing direction a little bit to find yourself again. And I think that we most definitely have done that in the last four or five album releases. And I think that you're absolutely right. I think we're more Wishbone Ash now than what we ever were. I think we certainly rock harder, that's for sure. I think that the signature sort of the ear candy, I call it, that the sound of the guitar, the melody, is more prevalent now perhaps than it ever was or as much. And so, yeah, I think we've, you know, the DNA is intact, but I think we had to, it's like a wayward child. You know, you've almost got to go through that phase of losing direction a bit, which I think we did in the midpoint of our career. And that's no bad thing. You know, you can't have the ups without the downs, really.
Right. And you can't grow without figuring out what it is you need to leave behind.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. It's like, oh, you know, maybe in your life you became a smoker for a couple of years. You know, you thought, that was fun. Or I, you know, kind of enjoyed that time, but I don't need it anymore. You know, and it's the same thing with music. You might go, I like that little phase where we thought we were a heavy metal band for about, a minute. And then you go, nah, that wasn't us.
Not really. Although I have to say, the Deep Blue, you rock on that one.
That does rock. Yeah, it does. It's not it doesn't rock in a metal way, but it's a blues rock tune that takes no prisoners.
You come to me with that smile on your face, the same old look in your eyes. I notice that there's not a hair out of place. Your sweet mouth telling more lies. You tell me it's different and you change this time. But the trouble is I've heard it before. It's always me in the foreign line. I just can't take anymore. You're no longer my desire. Your blues are way too deep. You kill the mood and you pour out the fire. Your blues are way too deep.
A note I made to myself is that it seems like a lot of people, and maybe this speaks to the younger audiences that you were talking about, prog rock in some form or other there seems to be a resurgence in the kinds of things that the prog rock movement was trying to do, you know, bringing in the jazz, bringing in those other influences, and making it more orchestral in some way. But it seems to me that there's a lot of that on this album. I still hear it, but it's leaner. It's not as bloated.
Yeah, because that's well recognized. I think you're right on a few counts there. I think that we didn't really assign that name. I don't think that name even existed when we formed the band in the early 70s, prog rock. It's been a name that's kind of been applied to a genre of which we were definitely of the period. And I think you're right. I think in comparison to other prog rock bands like Yes and Genesis, we perhaps were a little bit more visceral, less cerebral. But, you know, you're right, we can certainly get into some complex jazz stuff. And I think that one of the reasons that the music of that style is having a bit of a resurgence in a way is due to the jam band circuit. I think that in this country in particular, you've got bands like Dave Matthews, you've got bands like Humphreys McGee, you've got bands that are, that, you know, the younger audiences are thrilled by, you know. I mean, I went to see Derek Trucks the other day playing there with Tedeschi Trucks. And, you know, that band certainly stretched out in the jam format. And I think that, you know, we always did that. We always did that. There were so many facets in the music, so many elements there where there was space for jamming, for guitar interplay, for spontaneity. And I think that it's the younger audiences that are demanding that, and they want interest. They don't want the formulaic thing, you know. Everything is dished up on a plate, and I think people want to dig a little bit for their music. They want to dig deeper, and that's when they discover bands like us.
Yeah, you wanna work a little bit for it.
You do.
Yeah, feel like it's worth it somehow.
Yeah.
Well, you're just starting on this tour, and we're looking forward to having you here. Looking ahead, are you taking it out to Europe? What's happening in terms of looking out the next 6 months to a year?
Well, we're really gearing up. This is our busy time. I mean, the summer has just been flitting out and doing the old festival appearance here and there. But then, you know, we do a month in the States. We did the South and the West earlier in the spring. But then we take it on to the UK for a month. Then we take it over to Holland, Belgium, Germany, Switzerland, all of those countries. And, we'll be touring now from this point on right through till March. And then who knows? We have an offer in South Africa. We have Persian Gulf, believe it or not. We're investigating. There's Japan to visit again. Whether that'll happen in the next year, I'm not sure. But we're looking at all those places. But certainly for the next 6 months, it's road, on the road, on the road, on the road. And that suits me just fine. I'm fine with that.
So no slowing down and no rest for the wicked.
No, we just like to work at a good, solid pace. We don't want to overdo it. We don't want to overstress ourselves. We don't want to kill a good thing. But we do all enjoy working.
Well, and we enjoy listening, I have to say. And I am so grateful that you had some time in your schedule to talk with us today. And can't wait to see you here in Milwaukee.
So nice. Well, you know, Milwaukee's always been a favorite city of ours. And we've done some good work there. We have some good friends there. So thanks. We're looking forward to seeing you all. And drop by and say hi, if you will.
Andy Powell, it has been such a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Andy Powell is guitarist and singer for Wishbone Ash, the last of the group's original members still with the band after 45 years. Their new album is called Blue Horizon, and it's out now. They'll be in Milwaukee tomorrow evening to play a show at Turner Hall. Andy Powell spoke with Bonnie North. One last break, and then death and mayhem in an unlikely place, Door County. Fortunately, it is of a fictitious nature. We'll learn more when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio. Living with only